Mike.
Good morning.
Well, we're this morning. Let's take a look at Matthew. From 23, from verse 27 down to 32. And this is taken from the English Standard Version, ESV. Thus, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. May the Lord bless you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Always. No addition. No subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Whatever was, is. Whatever will be, is. That's how it always is with God. Thus spake King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes over 3,000 years ago. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 15, Message version. Those words hold then, and they still hold today. Some truths are timeless. I believe the word of God is timeless. No matter when they were written or in what culture, the character of man remains unchanged. We have the same weaknesses, strengths, temptations, loves, disappointments, hopes, guilts, and aspiration as the men of old. The hearts of men have never changed. Even as the world around us has changed, we can look at technology, microphones, IT, projections, but the hearts of man, we are still the same as we were thousands of years ago. The spiritual principles contained within this book are ever eternal. Now I say all this, and yet this book was written in the past. It is history. We speak and talk of ancient stories. It is how God acted in times gone by. We are called to remember these, as the scriptures say in Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the generations of long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Your elders, and they will explain to you. The Bible is history. But actually, let me rephrase that slightly. Rather, it is his story, H-I-S, story. It is the story of God. We are commanded to tell and retell that story from generation to generation to generation to generation. Even the privilege of preaching is to tell that story and exhort and call people to change, to follow that God. It is not just to read the story. Otherwise, we could all just sit at home and read it. We can all read, we all have books at home, we all have the Bible at home. But this said, when we preach, we all preach in different ways, with different words, with different stories, with different backgrounds, different styles, and that is a good thing. Else we would all get bored if we just hear the same thing week after week, the same stories, the same repetitions. The church is meant to be multicolored, multicultural, people of different experiences and stories, a body of different parts. Otherwise we would just switch off and simply let the words go over our head. It then maybe becomes a duty that we have sat here listening to the word of God. But let me be clear. We are not saved or changed by duty. Actually, let me repeat that. We are not saved or changed by duty. Different things work for different people. We all have different characters, interests, and experience. Different things resonate with people in different ways. Prompt us, move within our heart, inspire us, stir us, excite us. God desires us to have a new heart. This is what Christianity in Christ is all about. A new heart. To awaken us, to fire us, to excite us. Ezekiel 36. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then, and only then, will you live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. God wants to give us a new spirit inside of us. That is his plan from eternity, from the beginning of human history. In this set, actually, I'm aware in my last sermon, if you ever talked a few weeks ago, about unselfish love. And really, I want us to focus at that time the power of the Good Samaritan and how we could be dangerously help our neighbour. How we can have unselfish love. And yes, I know actually many focus on the story or the background of it, saying, there's too much history. So I talk about Martin Luther King and the mountaintop and other things. Now, personally, I believe we learn from history. Meaning for myself, when I write on my own sermons, I never live from anybody else or have some sermon book or website or playbook. If I quote another speaker, preacher or pastor, I will give full credit, full context, full. If we remember, the Bible too is history and stories retold. However, more importantly, it is his story, the story of God. If people remember the history of it all, or focus more on that, and as far more was in their mind or memory or comments than the message itself, then I have failed. Now for that, I deeply apologise. That should never ever be the case. The message should always be foremost, the message of God. And truth is, they are right. A message should never be just about what happened in the past. It should be about what happens today. Hence the title, today. Where are we today? There's one simple word. Hopefully I've asked you in a few weeks' time, what was the title of the message? What was it about? You say, today. Today I talked about today. Because actually, God does not care what you or I did yesterday, or last week, or last year, or last decade, or what our ancestors said or did. He cares about where you are today. What will you do today? Psalm 95. Come, let us sing joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of all the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, or you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, there are people whose hearts go astray, they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath that my anger, they shall not enter my rest. So really, I do believe God wants to meet you today, right now. I believe that. Because we can all too easily become a people of habit, of ritual, of duty, of pattern. Where maybe we even feel uneasy if Chris Isaac something's not quite right, or the way we normally do it, or the way we were brought up, nor does it meet our regular pattern expectations. We'd like comfort and predictability. We like things just to be exactly as we expect. That's human nature. I feel comfortable, everything is as I've been brought up and the way it should be. Except God was never a God of predictability or of change. God always wanted change. Else, why did he send his son Jesus? Because the old way of the law, of routine, of pattern, and rules was not working. The Pharisees and teachers of the law focused more on the letter of the law than the heart. They lost the heart of what God was all about. The Pharisees focused more on making things look good on the outside rather than what was going on the inside. Brother Francis read us Matthew 23, 27 to 32. We know the passage well of whitewashed tombs. And actually, whitewash is an interesting thing. Whitewash is just where you get some white paint. And I got something else, like an illustration. So this is, that's whitewash. So if you look outside our church, the last few weeks you've noticed it's a bit whiter than it was a month ago. The lintels have been painted, the gateposts have been painted, the notice has been painted, the walls at the top have been painted with this paint here. Actually, I'll let George do the painting later on. There's a brush for you. But that's whitewash. Now, whitewash, and actually, I used to live in Cyprus, so in Greece, they do, in Greek culture, they do a lot of whitewashing. You have the white walls, and once a year, when it's spring, you paint over the wall. Just make all look good and bright and brand new after the winters and all the dirt and storms that come up. And actually, with whitewash, you don't really have to do any preparation. You don't have to do any undercoat or clean it all up. You just do another coat of white on top, and it's really easy. And actually, that's why I did it outside. I thought, actually, this is really easy. Just white. Wow, it looks so different, so bright. And if you do that every year, your building looks beautiful. I mean, hopefully you like it. At the moment, it looks nice and bright and white. It looks beautiful. It's quite easy to do whitewashing. except it doesn't really come any problems. I mean, Brother Kevin is in charge of our building, and he might say, well, okay, if we look at some of the brickwork, there's little gaps, developments, the brickwork, if you look at the edge of the roof, you can see a little bit's kind of crumbling. I was talking to our neighbour 2 weeks ago, Mark, about that, you know, just where the roof crumbles. And ultimately, if we don't look after the building, ultimately, my brother Kevin's been doing a great job looking after the building, if we don't look after the building, if the building will fall, it will crumble, the bricks will come apart. Think of your own homes, and obviously the Redrick houses here in Leicester. If you don't maintain it, holes develop. Damp gets in, the roof falls apart. And it doesn't matter how good your house looks on the outside, if the foundations and the damp and the holes are coming in, the house will fall. And so really, that's what I want us to think about in today, just about, okay, how we're the outside compared to the inside. Now, I'll be reading from Ezekiel chapter 13, so I appreciate Brother Francis reading one passage, but I think we know that one well. But let's dig deeper into Ezekiel. So this is Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1 to 16. I'll just put this paint, I'll get the paint to Brother George as well. Keep it busy.
There we are, you have the paint.
You'll never remember the paint, won't you? I want the message back, I just remember the paint. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man. Prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who are now prophesying. Say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets, who follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins. You have not gone up in the breaks of the wall to repair it, the house of Israel, so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and the divinations a lie. They say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divination when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? And I think even if you look at the religious world today, and there's many preachers, churches, people on TV, all sorts of multimedia channels. There's many people saying, yeah, we speak the word of the Lord. This is what God says. And yet also, I think if we look at the religious world today, there's a lot of mess of varying teachings, liberalism, you know, this is the modern gospel, this is how we apply things today, and things have changed. And yet we're saying the word of God, and again, I believe the foundations of the word of God, and not people. As soon as you follow people, it gets a bit dangerous. As soon as people say, well, I have the answer. The Lord says, I know, God spoke to me in a dream or a prayer last night. That's dangerous territory. Even if you have such a dream, test against the word of the Lord, the Bible clearly says. So let's be aware of what's after modernization. I mean, again, even this week, the big news America said was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And whether you may think of him or not, and certainly he was very outspoken in his Christian thoughts, and I think he said a lot of good things. I also think there are a lot of things I would disagree with, to be absolutely frank. Certainly for him, yeah, he believed, he was very critical. So this idea of, well, maybe faith and the Christian faith and the state, the government can mix together, somehow we can change the world through the church and state being together. That is very, very dangerous. Once politics and voting and democracy and movements and marches and trying to please people, because if you want to be a politician, you've got to win the votes. You don't speak the truth, you speak the truth that people want to hear. with their itching ears because you want their vote. What pleases them? And so I think that was a dangerous path indeed. Except there should always be freedom of speech. And I'm a strong person for freedom of speech, so I strongly condemn assassination. Because whether you agree with him or not, he always engaged in dialogue. Within the past, I've seen clips on multimedia with dialogue, going to universities, talk to various students. He came to Oxford and Cambridge, with dialogue in the student unions there. And that's the solution, dialogue. Even if we're trying to convince people of the truth of the Bible, we do it through argument, through dialogue. Not through sword or power or through war, or we're going to forcibly baptize you with the sword above you. We convince, we make an argument. And I do strongly believe in the Bible, an argument can be made for everything. There's easy bits, there's some difficult bits, but I believe there is an answer if we dig deep and we talk and we're in dialogue. And even when we have our Bible classes, are very strong, our Bible classes here, it's because then we can have that dialogue with the people we meet. We don't just say, well, my minister knows, the church knows, or go to our website, or I'm not quite sure, but no, it's for us to be able to answer those questions, because that's how we convince and change and turn people. But the standard is always the Bible. It's the Bible we preach. The classes are called Bible classes for a reason. They're not people's classes or the Church of Christ classes or morning classes, they're Bible classes. As we aim to teach and proclaim and educate on the Bible in this church. But let me read on into verse 8 in Ezekiel 13. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying divisions, I'm against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Because they lead my people astray, saying, peace, when there is no peace. And because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. There's George with his white brush, his paint covering the wall. No, it's not. But I think you get the idea, the illustration. They cover the wall with whitewash. It's going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? So again, let's look at that picture. These false prophets are saying there's peace when there's no peace. They're saying, well, all is good. If you heard the prosperity gospel, or God will make you rich and wealthy if you follow him. Life is good if you follow him. Here's all the good things. Actually, the Christian life is a challenging one. There's challenges. We're called to be righteous people, to follow the truth, to live godly lives. It's a challenge with rewards, an eternal reward. If somebody just says it's all good, I think we all know from our own Christian walks, the Christian walk is not good all the time. We have challenges and things that come into our life, probably on a daily basis, a phone call or somebody we've bumped into, or sin just creeps into our lives all the time. So beware if he just says everything is all good, because there's challenges. But the point is, if your wall is false, if it's built on a wrong foundation, those walls will fall. When there's storms, last week there were storms when I was travelling down to Somerset on Monday. So I don't know what the weather was like in Leicester, but by the time I was reaching kind of mid-England, we had hailstones. Really weird weather, actually, because it was blue sky, and then hailstones, bam, 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 bashing my car windscreen. Like, wow, this is quite a day to be driving south. By the time we got to Bridgewater, the M5, it was torrential rain. And again, it was a really weird day, because I could see blue sky on the left, blue sky on the right, and the road I'm going down, straight down the M5, down to Somerset, there's just a wall of grey cloud, a bit like Moses the wrong way around, there's a wall of cloud down the middle, and thunder, lightning, massive rain, all the cars have only had to stop to about 20 miles per hour, it was just pelting down. And so it was a heavy storm. It was quite exciting, but very, very heavy. When we got to our destination, I think I put a photo on Facebook, by then a rainbow came out. So I thought, okay, journey's end, I got to the end of the rainbow, God has warned me and guided me through safety through the storm, there's a rainbow. Well, that's the storms we face in reality. I believe there's supposed to be a storm forecast for Leicester this week, actually. Can't remember the name of the storms. But we have spiritual storms. We have spiritual storms. Storms will come and hit us all the time. We have our ups and downs. Times where we feel wonderful. I can go and do anything. God is with me. Oh, God is awesome. At times where we may feel a bit depressed, a bit discouraged, like, oh, things never work out like I hope, or I've got this problem, or I can't get over the guilt of this, or I've got relationship difficulty over here, and we have these ups and downs. The storms will come. The only question is, what is your foundation built on? It is built on the word of God, on the true foundation, not people's opinions, or politics, or media clips, or TikTok clips. I mean, TikTok clips last about 20 seconds. You need more than 20 seconds for the Word of God to imbue within you, to be within your heart, and to meditate upon it. We need this foundation. And so really, in conclusion, if you're a visitor today, maybe think, well, okay, actually, God wants me to do something today. In my heart, in my mind, I know there's a decision I need to make today. Be like if you know Acts 2.38. The first gospel message ever preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost. And it says the people were broken. They were cut to the heart. As that exactly says, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter, what shall we do? And he didn't say, well, enroll on a Bible course. Come to church for a few weeks, think about it, have a conversation. We're busy today because we've got an audience of 10,000. I'll make an appointment for you in 2 weeks' time. And it says, repent today and be baptized today. So often that decision is quick, it's immediate. We know God is working. If you feel today, well, actually, no, I feel great in my Christian life. My foundations, my walls are well built. I don't need any whitewash. My walls are solid, you know. Scrape away the whitewash, the paint, I'm great. And I would say, actually, just help others to build that foundation. Go to others and say, let me help you in your life. I think for many of us, because we're all human, we have ups and downs. And even when you came to church today, maybe there's something that's bothering you. Your conscience is pricked. There's something up or up. A broken relationship here, I'm not talking to this person, I'm upset with that person, I'm upset with my neighbour at home, I'm upset with my work boss. There's something I need to make right. Because the Bible calls us to be right with everyone. It says, even before you come on the way to the altar, speak to your brother and make sure you're right with him. So if there's something today, and again, I don't know your individual lives. God knows your individual life just as much as he knows mine. He knows my heart. I can look good on the outside. I can wear nice suits, nice black, yellow tie, look all good, look wonderful on the outside. But God knows what's inside each one of us. And so today, something is in your heart, in your mind, you need to change. Pledge to make that decision today. Say today, not tomorrow, next week. I'm not going to procrastinate. we do that all the time. Oh, tomorrow I'll do all that. Today is the day. So on those words, we have our invitation song and time of prayer.